Good morning. Today we're bringing you a very important story, and it goes right to the heart of our government in Northern Ireland. This is one of the most important stories we're going to do this year, so I need you to bear with me and walk through this with me. You will have heard us talk quite a few times about the Social Investment Fund. It's a pretty boring title, isn't it? But essentially, it is a fund which amounts to £80 million of your money in Northern Ireland. It is a lot of money. And we have been investigating how that money is allocated. There are significant questions around the processes and significant questions around why the processes have been set up in the way they have. The First and Deputy First Minister at the time, Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness, appointed people to steering groups. Now, so this is the first part of our investigation, these steering groups, okay? And the reason that they are important, these steering groups are powerful because they decide who is appointed to oversee projects worth millions and millions of pounds. Projects like creating employment in deprived areas, building community centres and new sports facilities worth many thousands of pounds. What I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to step through bit by bit where we ask questions and where we are raising issues in the public interest. Here's what the Nolan Show can reveal this morning. The people on the steering groups who decide which organisation get control of the money, well, they can, wait for this, give it to their own organisations. Now, how is that not a conflict of interest? And remember, the system set up by our government in Northern Ireland, it allows them to do so. Let me take an example. Let's look at the East Belfast Steering Group. There were a number of lead partners given projects there, but let's actually look at what happened in the case of Charter NI, who have been in the press quite a lot. So Charter NI, a representative of Charter NI, was sitting on the steering group, deciding who should get control of £1.7 million of employment project money, your money. So they could have decided to volunteer the money to themselves. Does that feel right? And guess what? They got it. So think about that for 1 second. The steering group, who are tasked to decide whether Charter NI had the ability to handle a £1.7 million project, it was loaded with a Charter NI person on the decision-making team. Now remember, Charter NI will be paid for actual costs incurred as a result of their oversight role. These will be checked and approved by the department. We have no indication that they've acted in any way other than entirely properly. There's no suggestion any individual or indeed Charter NI did anything wrong. What we are asking this morning as a programme, what type of process allows that to happen, that conflict of interest? Why was that written into the process? And remember, that process is controlled by Arlene and Martin. Investigation number two into this process. You might think that this conflict of interest that I've just set out to you this morning would still be tempered by other companies competing for the £1.7 million contract outside the steering groups. So you might have thought that tension that you often need in a competitive process would be written into the process so that it's definitely there. The Nolan Show can reveal this morning that standard practice is no other companies which were not represented on the steering group were allowed to apply. What's that all about? Why on earth would they not have a competitive tendering process at that stage? You're going to hear in full what the former chairman of the Committee into Standards in Public Life, Sir Alistair Graham, actually thinks about this in just a few minutes' time. But let me just give you a sense of what he thinks about this SIF process.
Well, I would say to them that I think they have a flawed process that doesn't stand up to the principles that are generally held to be appropriate for awarding of public contracts. And they really need a root and branch review of the arrangements they have in place.
Next up, under Martin and Arlene's great social investment fund process, investigation number 3. Are you ready? There is no record of a voting process in many of the decisions to give control of millions of pounds of your money to a lead partner. Let's look at the East Belfast Steering Group again. When they were deciding who should get the £1.7 million deal, the East Belfast Steering Group didn't vote on it at all, as far as the executive knows. The executive said a formal vote was usually not necessary. So let's stop again. I know I'm firing a lot of information to you, but let's stop again and stand back from this and think about that for a second. A formal vote was usually not necessary. In an under 10 kids football match, you would probably expect a vote as to who the team captain would be. In the East Belfast Steering Group, the executive tells us, formal vote was usually not necessary. There was a little discussion around the table. Guess what? Charter and I, led by D. Stitt of Homeland Security, were given control of £1.7 million. By the way, remember, D. Stitt denies that he is a member of the UDA. Next, under the executive's great big £80 million social investment fund process, investigation number 4 for you this morning. So where are we at? Charter NI are by this stage described as the lead partner. And when I say Charter NI this morning, remember that this is happening with many lead partners right across Northern Ireland. And we're not questioning Charter NI in this process this morning. We're raising questions about the process. But let's look, as an example, at Charter NI. So Charter NI are, by this stage, the lead partner, right? After the project is allocated to the lead partner, we have established that the executive office do not perform any checks whatsoever on the people who are employed by the lead partner. So think about that for a second. In the case of Charter NI, Arlene and Martin's SIF scheme means that Charter NI can employ whoever they want, including D. Stitt. It's written into the process. Let's take this away from Charter NI for a second, because we do want to look at this process today and how £80 million of your money, the scheme around it, was set up. It's been set up with the result that the executive office do not and cannot interfere in the people working in any of these lead partner organisations. So remember, we're not talking about any particular lead partner here now, but for example, the process would allow people who have current convictions for fraud to work in those organisations. No checks whatsoever needed. Now think about that for a second. Let's bring this into the actual real world that the majority of us live in. It might actually stop you being on the till in Tesco if you have a conviction for petty theft. Maybe you stole an apple as a schoolboy and that criminal record will stop you getting a job. But Martin and Arlene's scheme ensures that if you are a current paramilitary leader, you can still be controlling millions and millions of pounds of Northern Ireland taxpayers' money. Why is the process set up like that? Now let's come back to Charter NI as an example. And it is just as an example. So what actually happened to the £1.7 million of money? We know that over £500,000 will be spent on fees. So that's nearly a third in fees between Charter NI and the outside body they employ to implement the project. Oh, you haven't heard about the outside body yet? Well, yep. Don't be thinking that Charter NI actually deliver the project. They don't. You see, they find a delivery agent to do it. There's another £300,000 of fees. So what actually is Charter NI doing then for their £226,000 over 2.5 years that they're projected to get? Well, what they do, you see, is they make sure that the company who are delivering the project do it properly. My little phrase, let's come into the real world again. So DStit, convicted armed robber and leader of a paramilitary organisation, he is the CEO of the company who checks the delivery company is adhering to the law. I'll say it again. In Martin and Arlene's social investment fund process, it is the UDA's DStit who is the CEO of the company checking the books. Let's summarise what our investigation has uncovered. Members of steering groups allowed to nominate their own groups. No votes required on who gets the money. No tendering process for who becomes a lead partner. No background checks performed by the executive on the staff of the organisations who are the lead partners. Why has the process been set up in the way it has? Now, it is important to say the vast majority of the £80 million of SIF money is spent on fantastic community projects, creating jobs in socially deprived areas and building community centres. And yeah, Charter NI, they do some of that fantastic work. But surely our government this morning has a fundamental question to answer to the people of Northern Ireland. Why have they developed a process which allows the great work being carried out by the vast majority of people within the SIF project to be overshadowed by people like DStit? Has he really got the power? And I have, and this programme has, a direct public question this morning to everybody in power in the Northern Ireland Executive. Is it really difficult to write this following clause into the SIF process? I've written this by my own hand. I'm not a lawyer. But Martin and Arling, see how this would go down. How about a clause in this SIF process which reads the following? If you're a paramilitary thug, our First and Deputy First Minister won't let you touch a penny of our money. How about that for a clause? Obviously, a lot of information for you to take in today. Our colleagues in BBC News, including BBC Newsline, will be running with this story throughout the day. And you can get more detail on this story with our BBC News colleagues in bulletins and on BBC Newsline. Sir Alistair Graham is a former chairman of the Committee on Standards in Public Life. I asked him for his reaction to what we've just heard.
Well, my reaction is that the whole system looks flawed in terms of awarding contracts to use this £80 million of public funds. And it has the feeling of being dominated by self-interest rather than the wider public interest.
What do you mean by that? Why do you say self-interest? What do you mean?
Well, because it's a relatively small group of people sit on these steering groups. You have to be a member of the steering group to take advantage of managing this money. And yet you're the decision maker itself. Now, that's rather unheard of from my experience of awarding public contracts.
And there is no vote. So when the steering group sit down and are deciding who to give it to, and of course often they're going to give it to companies which they are also on, there isn't even a vote among these people, Sir Alistair. What does that sound like?
Well, it's absurd, and of course it defies all rules of transparency in the use of public money and the awarding of public contracts. Not only should there be a vote, but there should be detailed minutes which are publicly available as to the reason why decisions were made, and should also be available the background papers from which professional assessment has been made as to why that money should be granted.
You're going to stand over that? You're calling this absurd?
Yes, I am, because there's no transparency. Presumably people, of course, know once the award of the money has been made, but there's no transparency about the process in terms of public documentation that people can refer to see if the members of the committee need to be held account for the decisions they've made.
They have to come up with a consensus view. But not only is there no vote, which we've covered, Sir Alistair, but also there is no competitive tendering process between the steering group and the lead partner. So no outside body can come in and say, well, we would like to be the lead partner and we can do that at this price, and then an opportunity to compare that price to the price that the organisation who are going to get it, who are represented on the steering group, are charging. There's no competitive tendering process.
Yes, well, that's a serious flaw in the system as well, because in awarding public funds, competitive tendering and assessment of those tenders by independent, professionally qualified people is also a key part of the process. And this is not independent, because there is a clear conflict of interest of some people who are seeking the money and the people who are actually awarding the money.
This social investment fund totals £80 million. What would you say to the First and Deputy First Minister this morning, Arlene Foster and Martin McGuinness, who own this process? It's their process.
Well, I would say to them that I think they have a flawed process that doesn't stand up to the principles that are generally held to be appropriate for awarding of public contracts. And they really need a root and branch review of the arrangements they have in place. I understand the desire in Northern Ireland to involve local communities so that they feel they've got a stake in the allocation of this money. But that could be done by separate advisory groups who give advice as to the approach that should be taken, rather than actually taking the decisions themselves.
Now, what I've been told by some of those who are at the heart of this process is that they went to public consultation and they gave the public options about how this process should be set up, and the government listened and the public consultation suggested that it should work in this way. Does that hold any water with you?
No, I don't think it does. Of course, you want to consult people and you want to try and listen to what they say in terms of the use of this money. But it's the money that is coming from all of us. It's coming from taxpayers in Northern Ireland and presumably from taxpayers throughout the rest of the United Kingdom. And this you should abide by the general principles that apply in the awarding of public contracts. And that requires a high degree of objectivity, as I say, independence of the decision makers so they don't have a conflict of interest, and their decisions based on some sensible professional assessment and ensuring that there's full transparency of the process, so that if anybody has any worries about it, that they can go and check how the process was carried out. And the point, very strong point you made before, in terms of competitive tendering, everybody should have an opportunity, if they feel they can manage and use these funds for the benefit of everybody in Northern Ireland, then they should have the opportunity of being able to apply for those funds.
Well, there is a competitive tendering process after the lead partner get the gig, so to speak, between the level of the lead partner and the delivery partner, there is a competitive tendering process, but there is not one between the steering group and the lead partner process. There isn't, it doesn't exist. There's no vote and there's no competitive tendering process.
Yes, and what proportion of those 80 million funds are taking up in lead management work?
Sir Alistair, there are some elected representatives who are saying that there needs to be an immediate freezing of all of the funds associated with this scheme. Do you think that's over the top?
No, I don't think it's over the top. I think that when you've got such a clearly flawed process in which has built into it conflicts of interest that conflicts with any approach, sensible approach to awarding public contracts, I think it is sensible to say, stop, let's have a fresh look at this process. Let's devise a process that meets the normal principles that apply for awarding public contracts and start again.
Sir Alistair Graham, thank you very much indeed. Sir Alistair Graham, remember, is a former chairman of the Committee on Standards in Public Life. He is telling the Northern Ireland Executive this morning, stop. There are conflicts of interest built into this process which are inappropriate. He's called for a root and branch review of arrangements that they have in place. He has described the fact that there is no vote when members of the steering groups are deciding who the lead partner should be. He has described that as absurd. He has described other processes within this social investment fund as unheard of.